Nine Boys Golf Show. All about golf, from putting to driving, from hooks to whatever. Now, here's your host of the Back Nine Boys Golf Show, Rich Stiles.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. We are so glad that you could be with us. The Back Nine Boys Golf Show is brought to you by Bridgestone Golf. Play the ball that is made for you. And by OrthoGolfer.com, the only true orthotic made for golfers. Step into your game. On the show, we're going to talk with Mark David Johnson, who transferred to the College of Coastal Georgia to play golf. Mark won a couple of tournaments and some great All-American honors. Then we'll find out more about the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour from their founder, Mario Conti. They just finished a tournament last weekend at Sea Island with a full field of players from 8 to 18. Plus, we'll talk with one of the participants, Worth Pickens from St. Simons, about the Hurricane Junior Tour and how he did. And finally, we'll talk live with author Dr. Joe Parent about his book, Zen Golf, about how to master the mental game. And now he is a brand ambassador for Shoe Tips and how that can help you improve. First up, though, is award-winning College of Coastal Georgia golfer Mark David Johnson about transferring to play golf for Coach Mike Cook.
Well, initially I made the decision because, you know, it was a Division I school, and I did not want to stay here where I was from. You know, I was like most kids who wanted to go off and kind of be on my own and see how that was. And so I got to the school, and, well, so a week before we moved in, the coach that recruited me left, went to Kennesaw, so we got a new guy, and he was fine, but he wasn't the guy that made me really want to go to that school. And so after 2 years and trying to make it work, I just couldn't anymore. And so I decided to leave, and then ultimately decided that just being back here at Coastal would be the best for my golf career. Staying at Sea Island, getting to practice, knowing Mike Cook, who's a great coach and who is a great player and who I've known forever, would be great for my golf game.
But making the decision going back to Western Carolina to go to that school and leaving here to go there, and then finding out that the guy that you made the decision for wasn't there, that's a big deal.
Yeah, it was a big deal. You kind of, I guess, are very, you know, I was very excited to go. And then, you know, a big part of the reason I was going there was because he was such a great coach.
Right.
And then finding out he left, you know, it was tough. And then trying to make it work without him and a new coach just, you know, was not...
It just didn't work. And that's important, because you're going there to play a sport that you love and that you really want to try and do well in, and all of a sudden, that guy's not there. So you come to College Coastal Georgia, you know Mike Cook, you know the school, you're back home, and all of a sudden you had a great junior year. Tell us about that.
Junior year was... I think this was probably one of the biggest years that I've had in terms of my personal golf development. You know, I finally saw that I was able to shoot some very low scores, and I, you know, accomplished a lot of my goals. First team All-American, you know, winning multiple tournaments, you know, validating my decision to come back here, that this was the right choice for me.
It seems like that was a great choice, and all of a sudden you're relaxed. I mean, you're back home, you're here because of the coach, you're here because of the school, you're relaxed, and your game came back, and you won three times, I think, this year on the college tour.
It was, you know, it was tough to come back home, especially going from Division I to NAIA, because I didn't know what to really expect. But I found that the level of competition was still extremely good. I mean, and, you know, we played against some Division I teams this year and beat them.
Sure.
So I think initially settling into Coastal was maybe a little tough, but I think it's just tough going to a new school anyways.
Sure.
Even if you are at home and know a bunch of people. But, yeah, it's just, It's been very good, and I'm extremely happy that I decided to come to Coastal. And
well, it showed, because your game improved, and that's what you want to go to college for if you're going to play golf, is you want your game to keep improving each year, each week, each day. And you know, you don't want to get stagnant, because that's not good for you, it's not good for your confidence. But Coach Cook is a great coach. They've had a lot of success, and as you said, the competition is still out there no matter what.
You know, for my game, I think as long as you're playing and you're playing in tournaments and you're getting competition, it doesn't matter where you are.
Right.
As long as you're improving, you're working at it. And I was able to do that here. I was able to play a good schedule with good tournaments and good competition. I was able to practice at Sea Island. And, I mean, that just doesn't get any better for in terms of golf development. You know, at Western, for a couple months out of the year, it's so cold that we couldn't practice. And so, you know, here I can practice every day just about. And it's just great for confidence.
And from a practice facility, it's kind of cool. It's, I've never seen anyone like this, any place like this, to be able to get on the practice tees no matter where you are, and you're able to shoot out towards the ocean. I mean, it's not a bad view.
No, it isn't a bad view at all. Ocean breezes and just perfect grass and plenty of flags to shoot at, any number you can think of and any shot you can come up with, you can hit here. And, you know, they've got great instructors if you are struggling with your game.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's a tour level facility that we're able to practice at.
And you also get an opportunity to see some of the guys. I mean, there's 30 some odd PGA Tour web.com winners, FedEx Cup standings, web.com winners. And that's got to be pretty cool too, because sometimes you get a chance to play with these guys. But more importantly, get inside and talk to them about what do they think about, you know, how is it out there, you know, and you have a game to compare it to.
Yeah. Well, for one, you know, I've known Patton for a long time because I've seen him before he was on the web and the PGA Tour now. And so, you know, for me, watching him develop his game down here from, you know, grinding on mini tours to getting on the web to winning on the PGA, you know, kind of validates for me that I can get my game to that point down here if he can do it. You know, he's very talented, obviously. But, and so just getting to watch these guys practice and how they go about their practice sessions and getting to ask them, okay, you know, how much time do you spend on wedges? How much time do you spend on putting? You know, what do you do in certain situations?
Right.
And then going out on the course with them and seeing how they go about each shot and how they assess different scenarios. You know, it's just, they're the best players in the world, and getting to see them up close and pick their brains is invaluable.
All right, let's go back to Coach Cook. You know, Cookie has been here. He's been a great coach, won a couple of championships. How is he to play for? I mean, he was just telling me a couple of minutes ago, when you guys win, you get steak and lobster, and when you don't, it might be hot dogs and beans or or some other fast food place. I mean, he's kind of funny about that.
Cook is...
Cook is Cook.
There's no one else like Mike Cook in the entire world. He's truly one of a kind. They don't make him like that anymore.
No.
You know, on the course, he is very hands-off, which I like. You know, he just kind of, he sort of stands off to the side and, you know, asks you if you need a snack or a drink or something. But he doesn't get involved and, you know, pick clubs for you or anything like that, which I like. Most of the time, he treats us to pretty good meals.
When you're winning.
When we're winning. If not, maybe we'll... maybe we'll go to Steak and Shake or something if we've played kind of bad. Make us get just some French fries and burgers.
Yeah.
But he's so funny, and he's so relaxed, and it's just, it's fun to play for him.
That is Mark David Johnson, All-American at College of Coastal Georgia, talking about his first year, junior year, with Coach Cook. And I'm sure it'll be exciting, and I hope his game continues to improve. We're going to talk about the largest junior golf tour coming up. That's the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour with its founder and one of the players, Worth Pickens. And then we're going to talk about Zen Golf and Shoe Tips coming up on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. CJ's Pizza on Mallory Street across from Parker's on St. Simon's is the oldest Italian eatery on the island. Maybe that's because for those who have experienced CJ's, it's a one-of-a-kind taste. Nothing else will do. Sin crust, but it's their signature deep dish crust that is made daily by hand. They also have hoagies, meatballs that are unbelievable, and homemade salad dressings. Don't forget CJ's great apps and pasta dishes, desserts, beer and wine, you name it, they've got it. Stop by 7 days a week and pick up the best deep dish in the South, or sit down, or have it take out. Call 634-2711. One-of-a-kind taste at CJ's, the island's favorite for over 30 years. Say hello to Graham and Ada, and don't forget about birthday parties. CJ's can host your next birthday parties. CJ's, ItalianRestaurant.com.
This is Gary Van Sickle, MorningRead.com. I'm listening to Rich Styles and the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. Thanks for being with us. The largest junior golf tour in the country is the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour, and they were here last weekend at Sea Island, and I had a chance to talk with the founder and the director of the tour, Mario Conti.
We started back in 2007. This is our 11th year, and we've quickly grown into the world's largest junior golf tour. We got events all over the country, 22-plus states, 285 events, and we'll have some new countries next year as well. But, you know, I started this just from my passion of playing junior golf ever since I was young, and, you know, here we are 11 years later, and I love what I do every single day.
All right. How does someone between the ages of 8 and 18 qualify or get into the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour?
So, you know, our philosophy since day one is that we believe in all junior golfers. And, you know, we take kids that are playing at the D1 level all the way to kids that are just starting out in junior golf. So we're open to everybody. But we do have some invitations as well, which we are right now here at Sea Island for some of our best players on tour. We've got 130 kids out here from all over the country playing at one of our biggest events. But best way to find us is to go to hjgt.org, and it has all information about the tour, and you can sign up and play at events all over the country.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're doing this for kids starting at age 8, something I wish I would have done when I was or when my kids were. But it's got to be exciting for you to see this thing grow the way that it's grown, especially when you have these kids as young as 8 years old playing all the way through high school.
So, you know, it's been really exciting. And, you know, this year or last year was a remarkable year for us. We've had Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake and the Tavistock Group come on, and they've invested in the tour. They've been an integral part of our success. And we've also got some new ambassadors this year. We got Justin Rose. We've got Will Smith. We've got Ernie Els. So we've got a lot of star power on the tour, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and better. And, you know, I got a lot of kudos to my staff, who is the best staff in junior golf, and they just do an unbelievable good job week in, week out.
All right, so if this is an invitational here at Sea Island this week, how does one get invited? Is it based on points? Is it based on the number of wins, or how?
So at an event like this, if you get in the top three from January until basically May, you get to play in this event. And then we've got some regional invitationals coming up as well, and then we've got our big national championship at the end of the year. So all of our top three place earners at all of our events will get to play in Orlando. We'll have about 900 kids out there at 9 different venues, one of the biggest events in junior golf, December 1st and 2nd. So, but like I said, we've got events all over the country, and we're cranking right now. We've got about 6 events a weekend going on all over the place.
Does it amaze you that these kids at the young age of 8 or at the age of 18, how mentally strong and physical that they are, and how much they love this game and how good they are? Isn't it kind of cool to see this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, the kids at such a young age, they're so mentally strong, they're so fit, they're so healthy. It's such a different game. And, you know, I brought my son out here with me all weekend. He's 5, and I wanted him to see how well these kids carry themselves on the golf course. And they're such a good role model for kids like my son at 4 and 5. And it's just really inspiring to watch these kids on the golf course, how good they are in just every aspect.
And the parents have got to play a big part. part in this, because they've got to obviously bring them here, because some of them can't drive, most of them can't drive, and they support them, and they love what they're doing, and it's just cool to see the parents go around, the grandparents. I mean, it's just a neat group.
Yeah, you know, this weekend is really the family affair, because it's a destination event. You know, being at Sea Island, everyone wants to come here, and you know, it's been great, you know, really getting to connect with all the families this weekend. And you know, that's the best part of my job, and that's what I love to do, is to connect and build relationships. And it's great for the kids. I mean, this is the time of their life, getting to be able to hang out with their family at such a beautiful place. And it's great to see.
And you do it just like a PGA Tour event. You do the announcing, you say where they're from, and it's really kind of cool for the kids to stand on the tee and hear their name and where they're from before they tee off.
Yeah, you know, again, our staff is the utmost, they have the utmost professionalism. We run a really quality event, and that's really why we've grown into the largest tour in the world in 11 years. We do things the right way. You'll come out here and you'll feel like you're actually playing a tour event, and we pay attention to every little detail, and our technology right now is second to none. We're just going to make some really big improvements moving forward, and you know, we're just in a really good spot right now, and it's all about, you know, bringing the best experience to the kids right now.
That is Mario Conti, the founder and director of the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour. And there were over 130 junior golfers playing in the tournament out at Sea Island. One of the players was St. Simon's own Worth Pickens. Good morning, Worth, and welcome to the show.
Morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How did you get involved in the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour?
I've been playing golf all my life. And my brother played on this tour, so we knew about it for a while. And I just started playing on this tour a couple years ago.
And how do you find the competition?
Hey, there's great competition out there. There's a bunch of players from all over the country that travel a lot. So competition's pretty strong.
And what division did you play in, Worth?
I played in the 16 to 18 division.
Okay. And do you feel that in the other tournaments that you've played in that category, that the 16 to 18-year-old division was a bit harder than what you've played in before?
It definitely is a bit harder. The players are definitely a lot more better in the 16 to 18 division than the younger divisions.
And that's got to be tough, because these, you know, I guess the 18-year-olds are getting ready to, you know, go to college, and so they're trying to impress whatever coaches or scouts might be out there. How'd you do against the 16 to 18-year-old division?
I did pretty solid. I came in third, so it was a pretty good tournament. But they're definitely some good players that are about to go to college on this tour.
Okay, now, maybe a lot of people do know this, but some of our listeners may not. You are the son of Dr. Mo Pickens, who works with Zach Johnson and many others. He's a sports psychologist. What did your dad and you talk about prior to going into this tournament? What were some of your goals?
We just talked about staying focused. I'd played that course several times, so I knew what the course was like. And I knew I could play well if I just stayed focused and stuck to just playing golf and not really thinking about it.
Well, I was there for the tournament, and I know that each day, Worth, that kind of the conditions changed. I mean, it was nice in the morning, and then it was windy in the afternoon, and that makes an effect and kind of makes you focus on not necessarily all the things you should, but, you know, gosh, do I need a 5-iron? Do I need a 6-iron? How were the conditions out there during the 3 days?
They were tough. The second day we had a 2-hour rain delay, so that made it really difficult. And then it was raining on us pretty much the whole second day, so that made it really tough. It was windy all 3 days.
And that does make it tough, because I know when I play in the wind, I think I'm a horrible wind player, because I just don't trust what I should be hitting. That's when I need some advice from your dad. But when you play in the rain, you've really got to focus on what you've got to do in order to get to the ball, get over the ball, and get it where you want it to go. Does that make it much harder for you?
Playing in the rain definitely does make it harder, but yes, sir, if you just stay focused and know what you got to do.
And I noticed
that's what I tried to do.
Yeah, that's what you've got to do. And you've got to. What did you feel during the tournament, Worth, that you did well? And what do you think now after the tournament? You placed third. I mean, that's very, very good. What do you think you need to work on?
I putted pretty solid during the whole tournament, and I hit a couple bad tee shots that got me out of play on some of the holes, which caused some big numbers. So if I had to key in on anything, it'd probably be tee shots.
So make your tee shots a little bit better. Your iron play was good. Your short game was good. And you said you wanted to kind of improve a little bit on your putting.
Yes, sir. The putting was pretty good.
So where would you go to the range and start practicing on your drives, trying to hit different targets?
Yes, sir.
And I know your dad has a philosophy about how to practice and how to go from the practice to the first tee. Are those the things that you kind of talk about and you kind of want to get those things from him so you can start working on those things?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Does it make it harder for you to play when you've sat there and talked with your dad about this is what you need to focus on? Is it harder to play at home here at Sea Island on Plantation, or is it harder to go to a course that maybe you haven't played before?
I think it's probably harder to go to a course that I haven't played before. I've played this course a bunch of times, so I know exactly what it's like. So I think it's definitely harder going to a course that you don't know what it's like.
Because you don't know the nuances or if you want to be on the left side or the right side of the fairway.
Yes, sir.
Frustration. Do you have frustration when you play golf?
Yes, sir. I definitely get frustrated, but try to keep it just very small. And normally when I don't get as frustrated, I normally play better.
So when you get frustrated, as I know I do, and I know a lot of people do as well, but when you get frustrated, how do you get yourself out of the frustration?
I normally just try to calm down a little bit and just move on to the next shot because that shot's over, and then just move on and forget about it.
And that's what your dad teaches you too, isn't it? Just one shot at a time and forget about what just happened and look at what's ahead of you, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you can tell I've talked to your dad a lot about this.
Yes, sir.
Where are you playing golf on your high school team?
Like what courses?
No, what school, Worth?
Oh, Glen Academy.
Glen Academy. And they've got a pretty good golf team.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the big rivalry is Frederica Academy, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir, definitely.
And how did you guys do against Frederica this year?
We played them several times in a bunch of just little matches, and they probably won the majority of them, but we beat them a couple times.
Well, that's, you know, you won. That's, you know, that's good. You can't win them all, right?
Yep, yes, sir.
What's the lowest score that you've had, Worth?
In a tournament, I think one under was it in the last year.
And how proud of you, of yourself, were you? I'm not sure that's even correctly. That's, believe me, I hope there's no English teachers listening because that would be not the way it should be. But how proud of yourself were you?
I was pretty proud. It was pretty fun having the low for the year with that. But now I just want to try to get lower than that.
Yeah, that's always the goal, and that's always the wish to try and do that. Well, Worth, thank you for taking time on a Saturday morning to talk to us about the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour and about how you did, and congratulations, and say hello to your dad for us.
Thank you.
All right. Worth Pickens, who played in the Hurricane Junior Golf Tournament, had a pretty good tournament playing on Plantation for 3 days under different wind conditions and rain, and ended up placing third. Well, if you have some different thoughts in your head when you play golf, you're not going to after our next interview is with Dr. Joe Parent with Zen Golf. He masters the mental game, and he's also now a brand ambassador for Shoe Tips, which should be the last thought before your shot. So we'll talk a little bit more about that. But first, how do you make a golf ball that's different from every other ball? Well, you got to have something that no other ball has, like Callaway. Chrome Soft is the only ball engineered with a graphene-infused dual-soft fast core. What's graphene? Well, it's just one of the strongest yet lightest materials known to man. So Chrome Soft now has even more speed, higher launch, and better greenside control. Go to Callaway.com to learn everything you need to know about the ball that changed the ball. Chrome Soft by Callaway.
This is Armin Katayan, the co-author of the new Tiger Woods book, and you're listening to the Back Nine Boys.
And welcome back. I'm Rich Stiles. How many golf books have you read? I mean, really read. And did they really help? Well, some do, and most don't. But our next guest is the author of Zen Golf, Mastering the Mental Game. Dr. Joe Parent is also a brand ambassador for Shoe Tips, which can be attached to your bag or on your shoes to remind you of keywords to help you improve. And I want to say good morning to Dr. Joe. Welcome to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
Good morning, Rich.
I know it's early where you are because you're in California, and I appreciate you getting up early. But one of the main questions that I was talking to some friends about when I told him you were going to be on the show was, why do we make golf so hard?
Why do we make golf so hard? I would say we make golf so hard because we have unrealistic expectations.
Good point.
And then make the mistake, we go in a wrong direction. We think trying harder and being more careful will make things better. And I'll give you a really good analogy right now.
Okay.
And this is in a chapter in Zen Golf, and it comes, and I used it in a lesson with a young golf pro. And I said, if a waiter is carrying a tray of soup, is it going to help for him to watch the soup and try to be careful and try to not spill it? Or is it going to be more helpful to just look where he's going and trust his abilities and his balance?
Okay.
And basically, if you watch the soup, you spill the soup. And if your boss is watching you and you're watching the soup, you really spill the soup. So self-consciousness and trying too hard and trying to control what we don't need to control is what gets in the way. And that's because we want the outcome so badly, and we think, you know, but we were taught that when we were kids. Don't make mistakes. Be careful. Watch what you're doing.
Right.
That's
right.
Really a bad message.
Yes, it is. Is that how and why you came up with the book Zen Golf?
Zen Golf came out of the lessons that I've given. I started many, many years ago because I loved playing golf, and I was teaching a class on mindfulness and meditation and the psychology of personality. And a young man was a golfer who had just graduated from a university golf team and was going to be a pro at a very nice golf club. And I said, let's go play. He said, tell me what my mind is doing when I'm on the golf course. And I said, you tell me what my body is doing, and I'll tell you what your mind is doing. So we started doing courses together, and that's how I started teaching the mental game. The book came out of the lessons, not the other way around. And that's why It works so well, because it's based on lessons I've actually given.
Okay, and one of the things that you said just a few minutes ago was we make golf so hard because of unrealistic expectations. Sometimes golfers, mostly amateurs, and sometimes, I guess, pros, would go into the first tee with expectations of what they would like to shoot score-wise or other things like that. And doesn't that's what gets you in trouble, is you expect to do things?
It's getting ahead of yourself. If you're thinking about what you're going to write on your scorecard after 18 and you're standing on the first tee, you're not in the present. You're in the future. If you're worried about the outcome of a hole, at the end, you know, what you're going to write on the scorecard at the end of a hole, and you're standing on the tee, you're in the future, not the present. And you can't play golf in the future, and you can't play golf in the past. You can only play golf in the present. So it's really important to bring yourself back and say, what's my objective, and what can I accomplish? I can try to play this shot the best I can and give myself the best chance for my next shot.
Which is also where we get in trouble when we try and guide or aim the ball. I've got to hit the fairway because if I don't, I'm in trouble and I'm probably going to have a bogey or a double bogey. So you're thinking too far in the future, and as you just said, you're not thinking in the present.
Yeah, and you said, you know, I got to get the fairway.
Right.
And one of the things that when I teach, I give people a choice of two phrases that sound similar but have very different meanings. If you stand on the first tee and you say, I got to hit the fairway, as opposed to saying, I got this, that's a whole different attitude.
Oh, it is. It is.
And if you hit a bad shot, and you go, whatever, you know, I'll recover, or you go, what's wrong? That's a very different attitude.
You are so correct, because sometimes,
if you're getting ready for a tough shot, and you, like, you know, between some trees to hit out of the woods, and you think, watch out, that's very different than telling your buddies, watch this.
Yeah.
They're two very similar phrases, but one is being careful and afraid of what could happen bad, that's bad, and the other is confidence that you're going to give yourself the best chance to make something good happen.
So if there's a tree in front of you and you just need to get out back in the fairway, it's not try and make a shot that you've never practiced before and say, don't hit the tree. It's get it out in the fairway.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I have a system for getting out of trouble.
Okay.
And it's how you plan for the shot. So you have to ask you have to do things in order. The order is out, on, close. If you're thinking about getting it close before you're sure that you get on or you're sure that you get out, that's not such a good plan. So the first priority is I'm going to hit a shot that I can be sure I get out of trouble. Now, get out of trouble also includes not going all the way across the fairway and into trouble again. So truly, get out of trouble. Once you can do that, then within that, you can adjust and say, now, if I'm sure I can get out, what do I need to do to get on the fairway or on the green? And only after you're sure those can be taken care of do you think about getting close.
Good point. Good point. We sometimes think of the outcome rather than the present, as you just have talked about. When we're in trouble, our main goal is, sometimes our thoughts are, let me make this shot that I've never practiced in my life, which is never going to happen.
We want to play hero shots. Do you know, I have a theory about why high handicappers play crazy shots that even pros wouldn't attempt.
And that's why they're high handicappers.
But do you want to know why?
Sure.
Okay, at the end of the round, they're not going to be able to brag about their 96. They're not going to say, I shot a cool 96, I brought that course to its knees. No, all they're going to do is say, you know, on the sixth hole, I was between two trees, and I hit it right between them, and it faded around and ran up between the bunkers and right onto the green. Don't ask me about the putt.
Right, right. Don't ask me about the putter. Don't ask me what I scored on that.
It's to have a story afterwards. Not try it.
But that's golf. I mean, we always have to have a story. It's like we play horribly for 17 holes, and then on the 18th hole, we hit four good shots, we par it, and you go, why couldn't I do that all along?
That's right. And I'll tell you, I actually have this in Zen golf, that we hit a bad shot, and we get mechanical, and we think, okay, I got to fix that. And then we have a fix, and then that doesn't work for very long, so we have to do another fix on top of it, and another fix on top of that, and another fix on top of that. And by the 16th hole, you go, I'm not sure. You feel like you're twisted into a pretzel. I'm not sure what end of the club to hold here.
Right. Right.
And you go, you know what? I give up. I'm just going to get up there and hit it. Oh, suddenly, a good shot. And you go, why didn't I do that from the beginning?
All right.
Because we have in our mind the wrong idea. We have the wrong end of the stick. We try too hard and we try to fix it rather than play within ourselves and say, you know what? If I give myself room to play and I stay out of my own way, I can get the most out of my game.
Right.
That's the only way you get the most out of your game. And that's why I really like the product that I've asked to be brand ambassador for, and that's Shoe Tips. And it's a reminder so that you don't go down the wrong path and you have your reminders right there in front of you to say, oh, right, let's think this through properly.
Yeah, that was one of the things I was going to ask you. I mean, it's very similar to what you talk about in Zen Golf. Shoe Tips gives you those couple of thoughts that you want to have in that 1.2 seconds that you're over the ball, where you want to have the most positive thoughts you possibly can. And you can either put them on your shoes, you can put them on your bag, but, you know, for example, tempo, balance, that's easy to think about in that 1.2 seconds over the ball.
Well, it's a reminder, and the way that we got connected was that the inventor of Shoe Tips was a big fan of Zen Golf and used a lot of the concepts to come up with the pre-printed labels. Now, the cool thing I like about them is the back of each label is blank and accepting of a Sharpie-type indelible marker. So if you have your own special Zen Golf tip that you want to put in, that you know you can't have the a tip for everybody because everybody's different.
Right.
But,
right.
But you can write that in for yourself. So what I like is there are two of them, and I always feel like a reminder for how you take the club back and how you take the club through. They're both helpful. If you're only thinking about how you take the club back, sometimes you don't really get through to the follow through. And if you're only thinking about how you're going to go through impact and into the follow through and into your release, sometimes you shortcut your backswing. You don't make a full turn.
So in shoe tips,
so I love the the way I use them is I mainly use them for my practice swing.
Okay.
I set up, I look down, and I say, what am I trying to program into my swing? Okay, tempo, balance. Yeah, let's do that again. Tempo, balance. And then you walk up. You might see them as you're addressing the ball, but you've already put it in your mind. And so it's like having a coach there, but this one is permitted under the rules of golf.
Well, we've had Steve Lewis on before, and Steve has talked about how he decided upon this, and he did reference, you know, your Zen Golf book about it. And you're right. I mean, tempo and balance are tempo, which is during your swing, and balance is after you come through it.
You get into the finish. That's
exactly
right.
So those are really, really good thoughts, and those really, as it says on shoe tips, the last thought before your shot.
Yep, exactly. And that's why... I don't want to talk about it as swing thoughts. And the reason for that is people usually equate that with giving themselves instruction while they're swinging.
Ah.
Like a swing thought, like, cock your wrists halfway up. or maintain, you know, maintain a 40-degree angle from your elbow to your forearm, and you go, oh my God.
Yeah, right.
That's going to make you crazy.
Yeah, it is. And that's way too technical.
I want to feel swing keys.
Right. Swing
feels
keys.
And attitude. Those two things. You can have a feel and an attitude, and then you're trusting yourself rather than thinking you have to be careful and make sure you do. Make sure is like two of the worst words in golf. Make sure you don't do this. Make sure you do that.
Right.
And now you get very mechanical and robot-like, and you lose all the flow and rhythm of your swing.
You are so correct, I mean, and I want to talk more about this.
How many people dance well when they think about mechanical thoughts about how they're dancing?
Or how many don't dance because they don't want to think what other people are thinking about them as they dance?
And that's the other thing. If you're worried about what people are, that's something else that I teach in Zen Golf. Don't worry about what other people are thinking about you. You know why? Because they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves.
True.
Thinking, I admire him so much. They're thinking, I'm going to hit it past him.
Yeah, gotcha.
Hit a bad one. They're not thinking, he's horrible. They're thinking, please don't let me do that.
Right, exactly. Dr. Joe, hang on with this. We have to take a very short commercial break, but we want to talk more about shoe tips and Zen Golf with Dr. Joe Parent. But we have to talk about Puma Golf, because that's bringing you traction, stability, and comfort like never before with its new Power Adapt footwear family. Power Adapt utilizes a groundbreaking traction pod system to help your feet adjust to any lie for ultimate traction and better performance. The Power Adapt family features three distinctively different silhouettes, offering a fit and style for every golfer. Find out how Power Adapt is transforming golf footwear and improving your game at PumaGolf.com.
Hi, this is Tom Fazio. You're listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show.
And welcome back. We are trying to think through and have better thoughts with Dr. Joe Parent, who is the author of Zen Golf, Mastering the Mental Game, and also a brand ambassador for Shoe Tips. And Dr. Joe, what was your first impression when you saw Shoe Tips?
Oh, when I saw them, I said, well, that's an interesting idea. That looks like fun. Now, I have a question. Is that going to be distracting? Is that going to be something extra to think about? And so I would not endorse something that I didn't actually use and believe in. And so I played with them. And what I found was that they were there as a reminder, but then they became part of the environment. And so they were not a distraction. They became part of the whole procedure of my pre-shot routine. So they fit right in. So as soon as I saw that and was able to both utilize a variety and be able to change during the round.
Mm-hmm.
So if you feel like turn and balance, at one point I felt like, oh, that was good. I'd use turn and finish, and they were great. And then I found myself getting a little quick. So I took the turn label out and put in tempo. And that let me make my turn, but with a good transition. So that's why I find them really, really valuable.
And I think one of the big endorsements that Shoe Tips has received is that they are now allowed under the rules of golf by the USGA.
Yeah, I think that Steve made sure that they were permitted under the rules of USGA before he really got into producing and marketing them, because you don't want to have something that people can't use and play with, and they should know that they're unique because they're not just a training aid, but they're actually a playing aid. You can take them with you. And one of the things Steve and I talked about was, well, you know, it'd be nice to have your copy of Zen Golf out there with you, but thumbing through to find your page before each shot really isn't very practical. So here's a way to take your two favorite tips from Zen Golf and have them, well, they're not exactly on your fingertip, at your fingertips, but they are at your shoe tips. And so so it's a practical way of using the reminders, because I have Zen Golf both in hardcover and in digital ebook, but also in audiobook. I recorded it myself. And a lot of people, I just got a note from the mom of a junior golfer who listened to Zen Golf for 2 hours on his way to a golf tournament. A lot of people listen to a chapter or two on their way to the course. So it's a great transition. You listen to your favorite chapter, and then you put in your favorite tips, your keys for on your shoe tips, and you take Zen Golf with you out on the golf course. So I think it all works great that way.
Well, and one of the things that I think Steve has also done, he's also brought shoe tips from the shoes where you could put them on, and you can also leave them on your bag and put two up there so you can, the last thought you have as you move from your bag or from your clubs to the ball are those two tips.
And I think if you're going to use them on the bag, you want to use it for your course management. You want to have ones that say, you know, alignment, for example. Make
right.
sure that you're
right.
your target and you're aligned as you're taking your club out, and you might write in there swing within yourself, and then know, you know, maybe I can't reach that with an 8-iron. Maybe I don't hit my 8-iron as far as Dustin Johnson. Maybe I should the club that I can actually reach the back of the green with.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are things that make it really, really valuable for both how you manage your game around the course, how you manage your emotions, and how you prepare for a shot. Because the main theme of Zen Golf is preparation. It's the par approach that I developed: preparation, action, response to results. And if you have your shoe tips there, then you have a better chance of doing the proper preparation and producing the kind of action that's free from self-consciousness that you want. And, you know, people are free to write to me about this. I have my website is zengolf.com, and I do mental game lessons all over the world because we have FaceTime and Skype, and it's like being in the same room.
Right, and you can do that.
I just want to let people know that they can reach me and we can talk about it, and I can tell them how they can best use their shoe tips and get out of their own way and get the most out of their game.
Well, Dr. Joe Parent, thank you for getting up early in California and being with us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. We appreciate your time and your knowledge. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. welcome. Great talking to you.
All right, thank you. Dr. Joe Parent, the author of Zen Golf and also a brand ambassador for Shoe Tips. You can get them both, and you help improve your game. Swing thoughts, when you're over that ball for 1.2 seconds, that is what you have got to do, and it will help you. I got this. That's what he said to think about. I got this. And we got this, too. Thanks for being with us on the Back Nine Boys Golf Show. Thanks to Cody Queen, my producer. Thank you for listening. See you later.
You've been listening to the Back Nine Boys Golf Show with Rich Stiles. Go to back9boys.com for all things golf whenever you want it. We'll be back next week with an all-new Back Nine Boys at back9boys.com.